Despite what the program may tell you, I'm not the Reverend Dr. Kathy Dietz. I am Andrew McClenny. I'm a youth here at St. Paul's and I had the privilege of growing up here. So last weekend, I was able to go see my brother Josh graduate from my own future school I'll be attending next year, UNC Chapel Hill. The ceremony was closed with a final few remarks from Chancellor Carol Folt, who talked about the power of a great education. Chancellor Folt stated how, while the information that a student learns in the classroom is vital for them to succeed, the real value in a world-class education is learning to adapt to the ever-changing world around you. This really stuck with me and made me think about my last 4 years, going through high school, what I've learned, and how things have changed. The real fact of the matter is that every person, every generation, is going to see the world around them change, for better or for worse. We all know to expect this, regardless of if we know specifically what to expect. Looking back over the past few years of my own life and my own childhood in general, the one thing that never changed much is being here at St. Paul's. I know that Sunday school happens every Sunday morning, and that EYC will sure enough happen in the evening. I know that I have choir rehearsal on Tuesday nights, and I know that I get to help with Vacation Bible School each summer. And soon following that, I'll be able to go on the Appalachian Service Project trip. I'll forever be grateful to have lived a childhood where I had this consistency, because in a world full of change, consistency really is a privilege and not a right. Now, I'm not old. In fact, I like to consider myself fairly young at 18 years old. But even at 18 years of age, you know when you experience something that you won't forget. I'll never forget the power of sharing my passion for music with Vacation Bible School campers, or spending a morning with the Go Do Ministry handing out bagged lunches in downtown Raleigh. And I'll definitely never forget spending hot summer weeks in Appalachia with people who continued to live happy lives, regardless of hardships, thanks in large part to their undying faith. On the other hand, there are a lot of things that I've done over the past few years that I probably will forget at some point. At some point, I'm going to forget the kinetic energy equations I learned in physics class. At some point, I won't remember the confidence intervals that I learned in statistics. And at some point, I probably will not be able to write you an in-depth analytical essay on the works of Kurt Vonnegut. It's just a sad truth that not everything I learned in high school will be retained. To some extent, it's just not possible. And while I learned a lot in the classroom that I hope to remember, the most important lessons in my life probably won't be what I learn in my advanced statistics class. Much that I've learned so far has been through St. Paul's. The lessons that remind me to stay true to myself and to stay humble. The experiences that will stick with me through college and through the rest of my life. People in this parish have been mentors and friends to me. They've taught me how to laugh more, how to sing better, and how to survive a lock-in with a couple of dozen other teenagers. The list is long, but to the Kevins, both Swan and McIntyre, to Rusty, to Leah and Emily, thank you. Thank you for teaching me lessons that many people will never have the privilege of learning. Not necessarily the lessons that will help me pass a test, or the lessons that might help me get an A in a class, not even the lessons that will help me get a good job one day. But the lessons that teach me how to be the best version of myself, while simultaneously attempting to navigate a pretty tough world. Truly, I have a lot of other people to thank at St. Paul's because you all have taught me a lot that is otherwise unteachable. The sort of lessons that teach you what to believe in and that teach you how to think as opposed to just what to think. This is why I embrace the change that the world will make in the coming years, because I've already had the opportunity to learn many of the amazing permanent life lessons that will stay true regardless of what changes around me. Because to be honest with you, some things don't have to change. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jonathan Schertz. I've also been a youth here for all 7 years, and I feel like I've done pretty much everything at this church. So St. Paul's really has meant a lot to me. Like most people here today, I was in church before I knew what the word Jesus meant. I probably couldn't even pronounce the word God. And fortunately, that's not a prerequisite to coming to church. Just 4 years old, I moved to Cary and found myself at St. Paul's, much to my father's disappointment because we didn't pick the yummy bread church, one that had fresh baked bread for communion, and instead picked the one with cardboard. As a kid, I did everything at St. Paul's without asking many questions. I sang in the choir, participated in the Christmas pageant, and went through First Communion as a dutiful Episcopalian should. And though I did enjoyed everything I did, none of that was marked by any religious drive. And it shouldn't have been. I was a kid. I was here at church because my mom made me, because at that age, mom's word is law. I remember the first time that I seriously considered my own religious beliefs. I don't know exactly when it was. It was roughly around sixth grade. But I can pinpoint where. On a stone bench on the path towards Kids Club, I had some time to think. Some time to consider what it was that I believed in, rather than just accepting everything that I was told. I remember one of the things in particular that I struggled with was the concept of prayer. What did I actually hope to achieve in talking to God? And from that, how does God respond to prayer, which leads to how does God do what he does, which leads to what is God, and you just end in a downward spiral into the depths of theology that, as a sixth grader, I was not prepared for. This was the beginning of an internal struggle that every single person faces at some point in their life. What is it that you believe in? The worst part about the struggle is it's not something that anyone else can help you with. You can get advice, sure, but in the end, no one can tell you what it is that you believe in, not even your mother. And I haven't fact-checked this one, but I'm confident that every single person faces this. Even the most devout Jewish rabbi looks up from his Torah to question God at least once in his life. I go out on a limb and say that even Jesus questioned his faith. We're inundated with stories of Jesus' undying faith, resisting the devil in the desert, or openly accepting his crucifixion. But I guarantee there's at least one cloudy night that he looked up in the sky and questioned God. The Son of God questioned God. And yet, how does our society treat people that stray from their beliefs, even if it's just for a single self-reflective thought? There are so many people that are so bound to their faith, of any faith, that anything slightly off the path is wrong. There's no room for error. My freshman year in high school, I had a good friend who was a devout Roman Catholic, and he invited me to join him at one of his youth groups. I thought, great, this will be a wonderful learning experience, a chance to see Catholics in their natural habitat. During the meeting, we split up into small groups to discuss temptation. And at one point, one of the kids made a comment about how he thought one of the temptations wasn't a sin. So after a silence just like that, the hip and cool youth leader launched into a 5-minute tirade. And the moral of his story, you don't believe exactly what God believes. Go ahead and believe it, but you're going to hell. I didn't go back to that youth group. It's easy to forget after going through your own struggle and coming out with your answer that the people around you are struggling just the same as you did, looking for their answer. The minute a child strays from the belief of their parents, they're reprimanded, or the minute a parishioner strays from the beliefs of their congregation. So what about my struggle? Where was it that I was shunned for questioning a God who's supposed to be incomprehensible anyways? Well, I brought up some of these thoughts in Sunday school. And guess what happened? We had to talk about it. A nice, gentle discussion where everyone was able to contribute their opinions, and no one gave even a single dirty look at anything anyone said. Here at St. Paul's, it's acceptable to be confused, especially as a youth that shouldn't be expected to fully grasp these abstract concepts of prayer and sin. At St. Paul's, I was comfortable working through my faith at the pace that I needed to. I was surrounded with youth in the same position as me, working through the same exact things, and adults that were open to having unbiased discussions. They weren't even open about it. They were excited to, because people here genuinely cared about what you were going through and wanted to help you along your journey, no matter what place you were at. There's a sign that we have outside that says, "All are welcome." Often we think that this means people of any color, gender, nationality. But that also means people at any place in their faith. From those like me first trying to understand God, to those who don't even believe in God, or any place of doubt in between, you're welcomed here. There's no doctrine that you need to sign to before entering these doors. We don't tell you what to believe in. If anything, St. Paul's has made me question my belief even further. Through St. Paul's, I've had the chance to help with migrant farm workers in Newton Grove, build houses in Kentucky and West Virginia, and serve at a soup kitchen in D.C. These are firsthand experiences with a side of life that you can't see and carry, and open your eyes to the extent of circumstances people live in. And these circumstances don't reassure you that God is this ever-benevolent utopian creator that some people like to think of him as. They're experiences that make you ask yourself the harder questions, that make you question what it is that you've believed in or been taught to believe in, but also questions that end up leading to more deep and fulfilling answers. So now, 7 years after I first sat down on that bench, I might have found some answers, but I guarantee that I asked just as many questions along the way. More importantly, I've had 7 years of experiences at St. Paul's to drive me along my spiritual path and also set up a strong foundation for where my faith can go. There's a nurturing air at St. Paul's that begs you to question and invites any belief to come in. And that's what has made this place special for these past 7 years and beyond that. So I genuinely want to thank everyone here for your contribution to this community and how it has been able to change me. Thank you.